You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Good morning, everyone, on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. I'm Kathy Quinn right here on KC Forum. This is Public Affairs with an entertaining spin every single Sunday right here on this station. Yeah, you don't want to miss it. Okay, what are we going to talk about this weekend? We are going to talk about House of Hope, which is an organization, a nonprofit, a residential home for teenage girls between 13 and 17, and they've been around for a while, since 2008. We're going to find out the type of work they do and find out what they need as far as volunteering, because I know a lot of folks out there like to volunteer. Stroke Awareness Month. That is the month of May. Stroke Awareness Month. So important, if you know somebody who's having a stroke, to get them to medical help immediately. It's so vital. So we're going to find out what they need to know and what you need to do coming up. Okay, I thought since today is Mother's Day, well, what a perfect time to bring my mother, Victoria Quinn, on the radio show today. Hi, Mom. How are you?
I'm just fine.
You're doing great.
Listening to you.
You better be listening to me. My mother is my biggest fan and my best fan. Mom, what do you do sometimes when I'm over at Fox 4? You sometimes call me and tell me that I don't have enough lipstick on or enough makeup.
That's right. That's right.
Don't you? What else do you do? You do that sometimes.
And I just have to say, do your best, which you do all the time. You're great. I can't complain.
Very good. My mother has 8 children. Married for 60 years and ran a restaurant. This is why she's my hero. She ran a restaurant, Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant. People talk about it all the time. And then she also ran and still does work at a law office with my dad and my brother. My father left us about a year and a half ago. She's still there with my brother. Mom, how do you do it all? How did you do it all? What is some advice for moms out there who find it sometimes rough and hard? And I know when I went back, not back to work, I always worked, but I would feel guilty about leaving my children, you know, with the sitter. Or you would say, Kathy, you're not out there at a disco. You're actually working for them. And those kids know it, right?
That's right. That's right. They knew, they understood, as young as they were, they understood what we were trying to do, is to have everything, something that they would be needing and learning and everything. Oh, no problem. We never had any problems at all. They all understand it.
Was I your perfect child?
One of them.
She has to be careful with that. 5 girls and 3 boys. What advice would you give to parents out there raising girls? And I know things are different nowadays. They've got computers and all that kind of stuff. tell me, was it tougher to raise girls or boys?
Neither.
Ah, you're going to be safe, aren't you? Well, what would you give them?
No, I'm not kidding. Both, all of them went along with everything. Everything. Their father was their baby.
The Rock.
Anyway,
he was the Rock.
No, it was no problem.
No, but
I never had a problem.
Yes, you did have problems. I mean, not big problems, but I'm saying, how did you do it all? You ran a restaurant. You raised 8 kids. You also worked, and let me explain that she worked during the day at the law office and then at night and at noon
downtown,
sometimes at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously after the restaurant closed, then you were full-time at the office. But
yeah.
How did you do it? What was it? Because people nowadays, they go to psychiatrists to talk about the stress level. How did you control the stress?
I never felt anything. I just knew that I was doing what I would want them to be doing, because I knew that life is not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just make the best of it, you know, just let go and do the good thing for your children, they will do the same thing.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's fabulous. All right,
That's why you're so good.
Okay. My mom, you know, I told you guys she's my biggest fan, always has been. But my mom will also give me constructive criticism. She'll say, okay, Kathy, your hair doesn't look good that way, or you need to slow down talking. But I think the biggest tip you gave me when I started in radio and in television, you told me, don't even think about the people out there. Just imagine that you're talking to your family and you're talking to me. And that really helped me.
Well, I'm glad I did a little help there, huh?
Well, that's right. And you performed, and you still have performed. In fact, my mom was with the Las Palmas Trio, and she sang and she played when the American Royal opened, and just, she's a beautiful singer. She actually just sang at the rehearsal dinner for my daughter Caitlin a couple of weeks ago, and it was fabulous, but you don't seem nervous. I mean, that's what I'm so blessed about, that I've got that from you, the performing part. And you've been, gosh, your family's been playing guitar, singing for years, right?
Right.
How important was music, not only to your family growing up, but your family with your husband? In fact, you and your husband met in a choir. So how important, why is music so important?
Well, I don't know how to put it out, but music calms you down.
Mm-hmm.
If you think, this is so dark, no, sing, just keep singing and do right. That's all. I don't know why you caught me when I can't.
Well, no. Your sister Anne Victoria used to tell me, she was my godmother, and they called her the singing nun. She used to tell me that music was her therapy.
Yeah, it is. That's why, and my father and my mother were musicians too. So we were built at that, and my children were the same thing. They all had my son Donnie. He got the fantastic piano.
Mm-hmm.
And you, look at you.
Now, wait, no.
And yeah.
You know what I thought was kind of cool? What did you think about this at my daughter's wedding? You have 28 grandchildren, and most of them play an instrument or they sing.
Uh-huh.
And at the wedding, every one of them had a part in the wedding.
That's right.
The singing and the playing, and what is so wonderful is how you have carried that on to your grandchildren, Mom.
Yep, and they're carried that to their own now.
Isn't it?
They've learned that
yes.
Music, it's calming down, and it calms you. When we say, oh my God, no, come on, get up there, do your best.
That's it.
Do your best and enjoy.
And enjoy. But Mom, why is it you never let me sing? That's
yes,
the running
I did.
Joke. No,
yes,
you
I
didn't,
did.
Mom. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Stand in the background. Stand in the background. No, music brought my parents together. And I think also for folks out there just talking, it's Mother's Day and we're talking about families and moms. I think you're the heart of the family. Most mothers are. Keeping
and you
the family.
Grand, fantastic mother, grandmothers.
Oh, absolutely.
On both sides.
Yes, we have. I had my grandmother Guadalupe Garcia, who spoke Spanish, and my other grandmother Irene Quinn, who spoke English.
Irish.
Yeah, and they couldn't speak. You know what? They didn't. My grandmother couldn't speak English, and the other one couldn't speak Spanish. But they loved each other.
Yeah, they got along.
Music. They all played music. They all loved music. Faith was very important to them as well, and family. And so on this Mother's Day, as we talk about family, advice for families nowadays, with there's so much going on. There, you know, most of the time when I was growing up, a lot of the, you know, parents, the moms didn't work. They stayed home. My mother worked, but we all worked together. What's the key to keeping your family together, Mom?
Well, be kind to all of them. Don't be just the one is better or you're better than they were all good, and if they're not, we would do it the right way. And I don't know if I'm correct.
Yes, you're saying it. What you're saying is that each child is an individual, and you treated them as an individual.
And then they watched each other as they were growing up, and they followed them.
I think a lot of togetherness is important.
That's
I mean,
right. That's right.
I mean, you're working it.
And
you
they
know.
Kept busy, being busy.
That's a key, too.
They kept being busy, both learning,
mm-hmm.
everything.
I wondered why you kept me busy. I wondered now. I wondered.
You worked, and you sang, and you danced, and everything else. You were good.
You never told me.
Kids, I mean, you learned from your older sister children, too.
All right, you never told me that before. You said I was a good singer. Okay, I'm going to write. It's on. Are we? You know what? I've got it right now, and everybody heard it. You said I was a good singer. Hey, can you leave
yeah,
us right now?
You all were singers, different types, but they were all good singers.
Hey, will you just do me a favor and just sing a couple bars of Solamente Una Vez? This is my mom, Victoria Garcia Quinn. Just do it right now real quickly, what you sang at the wedding.
Solamente una vez, amén la vida. Solamente una vez y nada más. Una vez nada más en mi huerto brilló la esperanza. La esperanza que alumbra el camino de mi soledad. I think that's enough.
Mom, beautiful. Yay, my beautiful mother. Solamente una vez. We'll get you concert tickets if you'd like to come and see my mom. Hey, Mama, love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Tell them what the song means.
No, you tell them what the song means.
No, you go ahead. You know what it is.
No, you tell them.
You're better translating.
Go ahead.
Okay? Solamente. God bless you and thanks for being a good daughter, okay?
Happy Mother's Day.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Hang on, there's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
Hey there, this is Gene Fox, and perhaps you've seen me on TV and Outdoor Outlook. I'm a conservationist, and I just love talking about the great outdoors. And I'd love to talk to you about one of my best hunting and fishing buddies, John Serta. I met John sometime back when I was looking for a trainer for my hunting dog, Rainier. John is the dog whisperer, and he turned my setter into a champ. Certified Gun Dogs, 816-726-6145.
All right, joining me now in studio from House of Hope, I have Diane Atterbury. And House of Hope, I'll tell you what, Diane, I've been talking to your PR person, and it's a well-kept secret, and it's something that's much needed in our community. Let's talk about the mission statement of House of Hope, first of all, please. And welcome to KC Forum.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's glad to be here. And you're right, it is a well-kept secret, and we don't want it to be a secret. It's a great community resource, and so many families could benefit, and we know they're struggling with their teenage kids. House of Hope is a non-denominational, parent interactive, mm-hmm. non-for-profit residential group home. The girls also go to school there. It's for any hurting teen girls ages 13 through 17. We also have a non-residential program, and mm-hmm. it offers outpatient counseling for both boys and girls on an appointment basis. The residential program, though, includes Christ-centered counseling for teens and their parents. We have daily spiritual guidance and teaching, mm-hmm. structured education at our Hope Academy. So our girls go to school every day, even through the summer. And we just offer a loving home-style environment.
Where do the girls come from?
You know, we have girls that are local, and we have several that are out of state. People find us online, mm-hmm. but it's really they're coming from a family where basically the parents feel like they have no choice but to get some serious intervention and residential treatment. They feel lost. They feel their girls are at high risk. Their behaviors are getting very dangerous and risky, and they know that they need serious intervention.
The parent interactive part is wonderful because you're still a part of it, but you needed some tools to work with what her problems are.
That's correct, and I think that makes us a little unique from other mm-hmm. programs. We don't allow families to drop their girls off and say, hey, can you take care of this, clean it up, we'll pick her up in a year. Mm-hmm. They are highly involved. They have to be committed to the process. They come into individual counseling, they have family counseling, and they have parenting classes as well. You know, we feel like whenever there's family problems, many times, so we want the whole family involved, but it is highly interactive with the parents and their daughter.
How long have you been around?
We have been open since 2008.
Okay. 2008. All right. And then in that time, Diane, have you been able to talk to people several years later, obviously, that they've been with House of Hope, and, hey, look, they would say, you've saved my life. Any stories stick out in your mind?
You know, I actually have been with House of Hope 2 years, but I did have the opportunity to meet with a girl who graduated around 4 years ago, and she was in college when I met her. And we did have a chance to talk, and she just shared that, you know, it was hard coming back out of it. It's such a protective, loving, warm place that she, you know, had to take some time to get back into the real world and use the tools that she learned to have healthy relationships. But she was in college. She was doing well. She was getting along with her parents. She said, you know, everything's not perfect, but we really know now how to communicate, and we know that every disagreement is not going to end up in World War III. So it was just nice to see her very comfortable in her own skin and very content with her relationship with her parents.
How do you know if your teenager is struggling? How do you know that?
You know, There are several warning signs. You know, the thing is, though, Kathy, parents have to be engaged and they have to be present. The signs are usually there and they're usually obvious. But if you're not spending time with your child, you're going to miss it. You're not going to see it. Some of the warning signs that I think are important, just being attentive to their mood and their behavior. Do they have changes in their sleep or their appetite? I think it's especially important to see if they have feelings of hopelessness mm-hmm. or worthlessness. If your child's starting to become isolated or withdrawn from their friends and or their family, those could be serious warning signs and you might need intervention.
Okay, then you're talking about not dropping them off. I understand that. But how do you get these teenage girls who think they know everything to want to get help with you?
Well, some of them know, if you can get them alone, some of them know they need help, and they're not necessarily going to confide in their parents about that. So if the parent is getting pushback or resistance, that doesn't mean that the girl gets to decide. Sometimes mm-hmm. the parents have to step up and make a decision and bring them in.
Aha. You know, and I was just, you know, having teenage girls myself, they do, one knew everything. And it just like was crazy. You were just like, what do I do now? And I remember attending a program at that time where parents got together and it was wonderful. Do your parents communicate that way as well? Are there group sessions for parents?
Yeah, they do. They come together twice a month for a parenting class. And we're working on some structured topics and they're required to read some books. But the benefit to our parents, I think what they really appreciate is just having support and understanding from other parents. Because it's interesting to me how many families think they're struggling alone, and they think they're the only ones. And it takes a little bit for them to step outside of themselves and just look at the issue. Just because my child is struggling doesn't mean I'm a bad parent. Bring in a lot of guilt and shame and responsibility. And when they get around the other parents and have opportunity to interact in that group, they start feeling reassured and just supported that they're not alone. And other parents are struggling as well.
Oh my gosh, that's such a wonderful support for the entire family. And then, you know, the little girl, young woman, when she leaves, gets to, you know, then experience life the way she should rather than have these little bumps in the road. Okay, so House of Hope, do you use volunteers?
We do, absolutely. They're a critical part of our program. Some of our volunteers want to work directly with the girls. Mm-hmm. And they can do that in our school if they like to do tutoring. We've had volunteer art therapists. We've had volunteers who spend the evening with our house staff, and they help the girls cook. They work on some of their requirements. They will teach a PE class or just go along with them to a Saturday activity or community service. So, yeah, our volunteers are critically important.
How do they get involved, and how do you know if this person is right for House of Hope?
Well, they usually contact us and make an appointment. We give them a tour. We interview them just like they were an employee. And then we're going to have to do background checks and an application, everything we would do for an employee, and then we'll decide if it's a good fit.
All right. So how do they get involved with you? The website, the phone number?
Let me give you both of those.
Okay.
The website is www.houseofhopekc.net.
Okay.
And our phone number is 913-262-8885.
What would you like people to know about House of Hope?
Well, we've got an amazing staff. And as a whole, we are committed to teenagers. And I think our clinicians bring in the expertise to help those teenagers break through some of the issues that they're going through. But I guess I want people to know that they can bring their child in for an assessment. They don't have to commit to a residential program. They might start with outpatient, and we can take some time and see if we can get things to go smoother that route, or maybe things are serious enough and high risk enough that they feel comfortable with us and they can admit their daughters if they choose to.
That's great about House
of Hope. I agree. And, you know, one other thing on that is we look at a child's behavior and we put an interpretation on that, and it may not be what they're trying to express. So we can't make assumptions. We've got to give them a place to really be able to share what's going on. And, you know, when they're comfortable, they'll share it with their parents as well.
Excellent. House of Hope, Diane Atterbury. Thank you so very much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you, Kathy. My pleasure.
And good luck with your work.
Thank you.
We got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on, there's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
If you've just tuned in, you are listening to KC Forum, where it is public affairs with an entertaining spin. And this is the month of May. It is Stroke Awareness Month, folks. We got to know the signs, what to do, because it's so important to get medical attention if you know someone is having a stroke or if you're having a stroke. And I'm very honored right now to have Terry Ackerson on the line. She is a stroke survivor. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we want to get you on. Oh, it's wonderful to have you here so you can help other people out there. Tell us a bit about your story, please, and how long are you a survivor?
Well, Memorial Day will be my second anniversary.
My gosh.
Of my stroke. That morning, my son and I were actually driving to Starbucks when I lost feeling and use of my left arm, and I lost my ability to speak, and my face was really droopy. Thank goodness I had just gone through a stoplight, and because I'm a nurse that actually works in stroke care, my son was educated, and even though I couldn't communicate, he looked at me and said, "Mom, you're having a stroke." We changed positions in the car, and he drove me a half a mile to a primary stroke care center.
So there you have it. I didn't even know that before talking to you, Terry. And I've heard, because I have a very dear friend who had a stroke who did not get medical attention right away. That's vital.
It is. You're losing about 2 million brain cells a minute when you're having a stroke. And the faster you can get treated with a clot-busting drug that we affectionately call TPA, we can get blood flow back to your brain, so we save all of those brain cells.
Gosh, what is a stroke, Terry? Since you're a nurse, can you explain it, what it is?
What a stroke is a clot, normally a blood clot that flows to your head and gets caught in one of those arteries. And so then you're not getting blood flow with that vital oxygen and sugar to your brain. So the brain starts to die. We can give you that clot-busting drug called TPA. Sometimes I call it Drano, because it goes in there and it busts up that clot so we can get blood flow back to your head.
You know what? That makes sense. I mean, you hear about getting that medication right away, but what you're saying and how you described it, I think it's going to help people out there kind of visualize what's going on when somebody's having a stroke. Tell us what the signs are.
The easiest way to remember is the acronym FAST. F-A-S-T, face, are they having, can they smile at you? Is there something going on with their face? A is for arm. Is one of their arms more weak than the other? S is speech. Is it slurred, or are they having a hard time finding their words? Are they making sense? And the T, it's time to call 911. You've got to get to the hospital immediately so we can save your brain and save your quality of life. You know, 1 in 6 men and 1 in 5 women are going to have a stroke. And the more you know, 2 out of 3 strokes are identified by bystanders. So it's not only to save your life, it's to save the life of people around you and even strangers.
Let me ask you, then, were you behind the wheel when your stroke happened?
I was.
Oh, my
gosh. I was behind the wheel. My son was 16. He was a licensed driver. I had just gone through a stoplight, so I wasn't going very fast. I had all my faculties about me, even though I couldn't speak. I knew exactly what was going on. I was thinking, this cannot be happening to me. Because I got that drug so quickly, my deficits were very minimal. I even ran a marathon 26 days after my stroke.
What? You are a miracle woman.
Now, I didn't just decide to do that. I had been training to run my first full marathon. And when my neurologist and my cardiologist said, your brain and your heart are going to be fine, you can run your marathon if your legs will carry you 26.2 miles, I did.
Oh, my goodness. You're an inspiration for folks out there.
Oh, thank you.
Gosh.
Thank you.
I mean, oh, my goodness. Let me ask you, strokes, the clots and all that, do they know if it's hereditary? Do they know what causes it?
So the good thing with strokes is 80% of it's preventable. We can prevent 80% of the strokes happening by diet, exercise, stopping smoking. If you have high blood pressure, work with your doctor to control it. You know, sometimes those blood pressure medicines aren't fun. Work with your doctor diligently to advocate for yourself for right dosages and right medications. If you're diabetic, control that sugar. And you know, those are things that you can do to prevent it. Now, in my case, unfortunately, we found out that I had walked around for 43 years with a congenital heart defect that I didn't know I had.
Wow.
So I was at 20% that you couldn't control.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. But thank goodness you had your son with you. And you
absolutely.
Wow. That is incredible. All right. So that, the acronym that you said, once again, explain that to folks.
It's FAST. F as in face. Do they have a facial droop? A is an arm. Is one arm more weak than the other? S is for speech. Is their speech slurred or are they making sense? And then T, it's just time to call 911.
My goodness. In my friend's case, I just want to explain that he did go to the doctors. They thought, because it was New Year's or New Year's Eve, I can't remember which one it was, that they thought he'd been drinking. And unfortunately, he went back home and he had a seizure. And he has regained a lot of his faculties right now. He's driving now and everything, but he's not what he was before. He wasn't able to go back to his profession that he loved. But he's a great guy and he has a great family and they've helped him out. So that's frustrating that they didn't notice. You know, his friends took him to the emergency room and said, hey, there's something wrong with him. And they go, oh, no, he's just been drinking, you know. But anyway, that I just want to explain to people, look at the signs, what you said, and, you know, just try to make sure. Come on, you know, this is not my friend. He doesn't act like this, you know, whatever. So I just want you to know.
Right, and ensure them that, yeah, that he's not drinking. There's sometimes the atypical stroke symptoms that you're talking about.
Right.
There's a loss of balance or a loss in vision.
Mm-hmm.
And those strokes are the ones that are happening in the back part of our brain.
Oh.
So it's not your typical stroke symptoms. And those are the patients that sometimes are overlooked because they think they have had a little too much to drink or, you know, might be misusing illegal drugs.
And see, I'm glad I brought that up because you're able to say it.
I am too.
Good, Terry. Okay, we're talking to Terry Ackerson, who will be a 2-year survivor. Congratulations. And thank you so much for giving us all of this information to help the folks out there. What would you like to say about the experience that you've had? You've been able to help people, like being on the radio show right now and being an inspiration. What would you like to say to folks out there? You know, don't be afraid to say, hey, there's something wrong. If your friend or your family member, something's wrong, you know, there's that fine line where you don't want to cross and say, there's something wrong with you.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I say is whenever I can help one person prevent or one person get to the hospital and get treated in time, I'm over the moon. And you have to advocate for yourself and those that you love. When you know that there's something wrong, don't be afraid to stand up and say, they haven't been drinking. You know, be an advocate. I've been so fortunate, and my world has gotten so big. I wouldn't think I would thank God for having a stroke, but the advocacy and the education that I get to do. For example, I just left New Jersey and I'm in Dayton, Ohio right now, presenting and speaking about stroke, and that's what my life has become. So John F. Kennedy once said, one person can make a difference and everyone should try. And I want everybody to become brain savers.
You are so wonderful, Terry Ackerson. Thank you so very, very much. And I want to thank the American Heart Association for putting us in touch with you because, of course, May is Stroke Awareness Month. Thank you so much, Terry, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for us on this Mother's Day. Kathy Quinn here. If you want to tune in during the week, you can watch me on the Fox 4 Morning Show. I'll be out there reporting. And, of course, if you'd like to drop us a line, it is kathy.quinn@wdaftv4.com. All right, I got to thank some folks out there. I got to thank Katie Connors, our executive producer, and Drina Byrne, who's our producer, associate, and also Ed Walker getting us on the air. And, of course, the Elders, just want to mention the Elders Celtic Rockers. They allow us to use their music as a bumper music. They're going to be playing with the KC Symphony later this month. Look them up, eldersmusic.com. All right, until next weekend. Have a nice Mother's Day. See ya.
It's KC Forum with Kathy Quinn.